Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for July 5th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got tons of stuff diving this week. We're going to talk about the Tomorrow War later on, because Chris and I both saw that. The biggest streaming movie, like a big, probably the biggest movie of the holiday weekend, as far as like streaming and probably theatrical, because F9 had a huge drop off, but still, but yeah, Tomorrow War, like, I think it was like 2.4 million people watched it, including me and you, Chris. So, but we'll dive into all the time travel craziness and all that stuff later on in show and tell. But we got to kick things off, unfortunately, with some sad news. We lost a huge name in the world of directing and Hollywood this week, with Richard Donner passing away.
Yeah.
At age 91.
Ripe young age, you know? He didn't die from like a jet ski accident.
Yeah. Super long career. Like, I mean, so much stuff. I don't even know where you even begin to like dive into like Richard Donner's stuff. I mean, just some of the big ones, obviously, Superman motion picture, or Superman the movie, however you want to describe it. And then there's the Richard Donner cut of 2, but he kind of, like, there's that whole, like, thing where, like, he kind of got removed halfway through Superman 2, and then Richard Lester finished it, but then there's the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, so.
Which, I haven't seen the Donner cut, but I've heard, like, it alters a few things in, like, very weird ways, but because, like, Richard Donner's vision of Superman was more, like, fun, like, it didn't have to follow certain rules.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also does the, like, rewinding the Earth again in that one.
Well, I think they might have used, because, like, Richard Donner didn't have, like, they didn't have CG or do, like, you know, Zack Snyder cut it in, the, like, the 80s or whatever. So, like, I think they just used footage from Superman 1 again.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they're just, like, that's what he did.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Superman 1, like that's, you can trace all, like, MCU, DCEU, all that stuff, like, that all traces back to 1978 with Superman. Like that was the first huge, like, blockbuster superhero movie. And then, another huge one is The Omen. That was, like, he directed it right before Superman. You know, like classic, like, considered one of the greatest horror movies of all time. So, and I mean, other, I mean, just other huge stuff. The Goonies, obviously huge.
Yep, I always forget he did that, and not like Steven Spielberg.
Well, that was the era when, like, Steven Spielberg was, like, producing everything, but then other people were, like, people forget, like, you know, like, Toby Hooper directed Poltergeist, but people think it's, like, a Steven Spielberg movie and stuff, but yeah, Steven Spielberg produced The Goonies and was very involved in it, but yeah, Richard Donner directed The Goonies.
I just think his name's, like, Steven Spielberg Presents, and I'm like, I guess he did it.
Yep. But, I mean, Goonies is amazing. Like, if you don't know The Goonies, get the hell out of here. Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 and 4 and 3, actually all of them, the whole quadrilogy. Which, I mean, 1 and 2, amazing, and then they kind of start slipping off after that.
Yeah. I just forget, like, he had that vision for all 4. It's, like, mm-hmm. Not a lot of directors can do that.
I mean, yeah, so many elements. And Scrooged is amazing. That's also it. That's him. That was him. Maverick, reteaming with Mel Gibson for that one after, between Lethal Weapon 3 and 4. Assassins, the Stallone Antonio Banderas movie. Conspiracy Theory. timeline, 16 Blocks. Which actually, 16 Blocks was like the last movie he directed, which was all the way back in like 2006. So, yeah, it's he's been kind of retired for a while. And then also like a lot of people don't like mention it, but like in like during like the 60s and like 70s, like Richard Donner was like just like if you name like a TV show and Richard Donner directed at least one episode of it, like Wild Wild West, The Fugitive, Get Smart, Perry Mason, Gilligan's Island, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., six episodes of The Twilight Zone, including Nightmare 20,000 Feet.
Well, he did. Oh wow, he very illustrious.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Donner is like just a legend, like just an amazing, so much amazing stuff from him. And he's gonna be missed. Definitely check out some of some stuff. If you haven't watched Lethal Weapon in a while, or The Goonies, or go back and watch like The Omen or Superman. I think Superman 1, I think, is on HBO Max. And two, I think the Donner Cut might be on HBO Max too, or it might just be the regular version. But check that out. And then, I mean, Lethal Weapons are always amazing, so go check those out. So R.I.P. Richard Donner. So moving on, we got a bunch of animated trailers to talk about this week. So kicking things off, we got the first full trailer for What If, the new upcoming Marvel show. It's going to be out in August, which is going to be an animated anthology of basically taking the idea of the fan favorite comic that has been running for decades over at Marvel, where they basically just kind of spin off one. They do like change one thing about a character and then they go off in a whole different direction of it. So it's like, what if Uncle Ben never died? What would happen to Spider-Man? Or like, what if Punisher's family never died? Or like, what if Wolverine became a vampire? It's one of the ones I have, I remember. But the show is going to be all MCU related. So it's all like kind of MCU like changes and ideas. So like, some of them are like, what if T'Challa was the one that got taken by the like Yondu and became a guardian or a Ravager instead of
Peter. But
yeah,
I want that one kind of the ones. I'm like, that one's really questionable, because does that mean he was not T'Challa's father, or was this an accident?
Yeah, I wonder if they'll even get into any sort of ramifications of like what happens to Wakanda if that happens.
I think the one of the biggest ones I saw from the trailer was that, what if Killmonger helped Tony Stark?
Yeah, there's something where like I think Killmonger is like after Ultron or something. Like he has some sort of like vendetta against Ultron.
My guess is that's how it starts, and then maybe Tony Stark gets killed, Killmonger goes after Ultron.
Yeah,
I think that's how that happens, because it can't be like because it's like too weird if it wasn't, because Ultron has to be made through Tony Stark.
Yeah,
so maybe that's the point.
I think another one is like, what if Loki was the one who wielded Mjolnir and not Thor?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like what if Spider-Man became the Sorcerer Supreme? Because there's like in the poster for the show, there's like an image of like Spidey with like the cape on, like the Doctor Strange's cloak on. So, there's like what if Peggy Carter was the one who got the Super Soldier Serum and became Captain Carter?
Which logically does make sense. Mm-hmm. She was pretty much qualified, but the only thing that was like disqualifier was that like she wasn't a man, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess that was the reasoning.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the other ones might be what if Gamora like either like stayed with Thanos and like helped him like take over the galaxy, or became Thanos basically or something.
Actually truly embraced like being his daughter.
Yeah. And then I think the big one for like comic fans is we're going to get a Marvel Zombies episode.
That's another one too. That's like, is it supposed to be set? It's MCU version.
MCU Marvel Zombies. Yeah.
See, as cool as that is, I feel like since we only know 30 heroes so far in the MCU, where in the comic one, it was like a giant assortment of everyone. So it's like, as much as I want to see a zombie version, the MCU universe is not as big as they think.
Yeah, we're not going to get like them like eating the Silver Surfer or something, yeah, like fighting Galactus or whatever it'll happen.
Or helping, or like the X-Men. Like, we're skipping large chunks where basically 30 superpowered people, all right, like, that seems like a fair fight, you know, versus, like, the world, where basically in the comic version, it was, like, everybody, you know, like, mutants and heroes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, like the Marvel comic superheroes like ate every single person on the planet, and then it was just them left basically.
That basically had to like look for more life. They went around the galaxy.
Yeah.
And then they did something where it's like they went to an alternate dimension because they ate Galactus.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. I mean, I haven't read like Marvel Zombies 3, but pretty sure the same premise is like. It's basically just what if this happens with like a little bit of an updated roster. That's the beauty about comics is that every few years, like they drop like 10 new characters at least. MCU, it's like we get one character a year, maybe two if they don't get killed in some sort of TV show.
Yeah. But we'll see. Hopefully they have a fun idea for Marvel Zombies. That's like people have been waiting for that to see like some sort of version of that for a while.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Wright is going to be voicing Uatu, the Watcher. He's going to be kind of like the Rod Serling host of What If, basically like introducing like I'm seeing this multiverse. Like
just he's going to do Night Gallery sort of, just like him in his house, just walking around pointing at different like portals.
That'd be fantastic. Just like in the art gallery. But that's going to be August 11th on Disney Plus. And it's going to be the one episode a week model, like they usually do. Where it's gonna be August 11th and then a new episode every Wednesday after that. And I think they've already said season 2 is already approved and on the way. So we're definitely getting more What If after this first season. Oh, what did you think of the art style, Chris, of the trailer and the show just in general?
Art style's a little, like, glossy for me.
I feel like it's going to take a little bit to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because it's like rotoscoped, so it's kind of, like, weird. It's like, where it's, like, they're, like, sort of trying to make it look like, well, because, like, everyone in the MCU is basically back voicing their characters, so, and they're trying to make it look like them through, like, this rotoscoping.
I think Robert Downey Jr. is not, right?
Maybe he might be the only one. Yeah, I don't know, but I think pretty much everyone else is back. Like I think even like Chadwick Boseman was able to record his stuff before he passed away. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, the Disney Plus shows have been amazing so far, so hopefully this will just keep that going. And then we also got the first trailer this week for Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom, which is coming to Netflix at the end of this month on July 29th. And this is the third and final chapter of the War for Cybertron trilogy they've been doing. So there was, I think it was Siege and then Earthrise, and now it's Kingdom. And it's been kind of like just like a new retelling of like the battle between the Autobots and Decepticons. With a lot of fan service stuff, but like and like a lot of like sort of like is this like an alternate universe to like the original timeline stuff? Because like people, like characters and like things that are like it's like hey, this happened maybe in an alternate universe. But basically, for Kingdom, the big thing is that the Autobots and Decepticons arrive on Earth and they meet the Maximals and Predacons, so they basically like join their Beast Wars counterparts. Then there's like the big final battle for the Allspark and the fate of Cybertron and everything else that like matters in the Transformers universe.
I'm also wondering, in this version, are they just condensing all of the original? You watched the first G1? I think I'm gonna ask you. You never watched the first G1 Transformers, right?
I mean, I've seen a bunch of episodes, but I didn't watch the whole thing all the way through. Like,
okay. Because that was the thing. I only watched bits and pieces, and I'm like, certain things sound familiar. But then they're also merging like the post movie world of Transformers, where Megatron became Unicron.
Or well, Galvatron.
Yeah.
The second set of episodes for War for Cybertron, Earthrise, there was a lot of crazy, like Megatron and Optimus were, like, going into, like, the astral plane, basically, and, like, seeing, like Megatron talk to Galvatron and stuff, and it was just, like, you gotta do this or else you'll become me. Like, I'll tell you what happens so you can stop, you can prevent this, like, do this the right way this time.
Mm.
And and then for the Beast Wars side of things this time, we got like a bunch of the Beast Wars characters that we all know and love. So Optimus Primal and Cheetor and Rattrap and Tegatron and Dinobot and Rhinox and I think Air Razor also. And then we're also getting like for G1 stuff, we're getting like obviously Galvatron is also like kind of back. I don't know if it's going to be like a different, if it's going to be Megatron and Galvatron or if Megatron's going to turn into Galvatron. It looks like we're also going to get Nemesis Prime, which is the evil Optimus Prime.
Wait, where is he from?
I can't remember if it's like an alternate universe or just like a different character, but it's basically the same character as Optimus, but it's just an evil black version of Optimus.
Did he use an evil truck too?
Yeah, he's an evil truck, yeah. I think the only downside about this whole show, like, it's the animation has been fantastic. It has, it's been, had tons of awesome action, tons of, like, great fan service stuff. The only downside is the voice acting, because they're using, like, I forget who's behind it, but, like, whatever the company is that's behind it is, like, using non-union voice actors, so they can't get, like, Peter Cullen or Frank Welker or any of the other G1 voices you all know and love. It's like people who are like obviously trying to sound like them but failing, and it's very obvious that they're not, it's not them. Like whoever's voicing Optimus is like very clearly trying to do a Peter Cullen impression, but it doesn't work. And so, yeah, so none of the Beast Wars voices are gonna be voicing their characters again. So, like no like Gary Chuck voicing Optimus Primal.
I'm surprised because they couldn't get Optimus Prime. Like, you know, they got Peter Cullen, and then they got that. That'd be a sweet team up.
Yeah, but then I think I don't know if it's like a money saving measure or something, because they get like that would cost them way more money. Like, because like
I know the animation costs like an ass load of money.
You have to deal with like SAG and unions and like union like payment levels that they went to like non-union voice actors, which I guess to save money or something, which has been like the main sticking point of like this otherwise pretty awesome Transformers show. So
I wonder in the movie they're gonna shell out for that.
Well, are you talking like the Michael Bay movies and stuff?
No, wasn't there supposed to be like a Beast Wars movie?
Well, that's next Paramount like Transformers.
Right. I'm saying, yeah. I wonder if that is also going to shell out the money for the original voice actor for Optimus Primal.
Well, no, we talked about last week. Ron Perlman's going to be Optimus Primal.
Oh, I thought he was doing this one.
No. But yeah, Paramount has the money to pay like Peter Cullen and Frank Welker and whoever else they want to get. So. But yeah, I'm excited for this final chapter. Like, I'm definitely excited to see like the Beast Wars characters back, and just see how this whole thing wraps up. It's been if you haven't watched it yet, I would definitely suggest watching like the first like 12 episodes, which is like the first two chapters of the show, and then you can be ready for this final chapter. But yeah, a lot of awesome like G1 fan server stuff and like cool like lore stuff, and it's the whole thing kicks off with like Megatron has taken over Cybertron, and it's basically like the Autobots are basically just like this like very scrappy like rebellion against him, but like he has total control over the planet. And then it goes from there to some crazy places. So last trailer this week is that we got the first trailer actually end of last week after we recorded, we got this trailer came out, but we can talk about it right now, which is the trailer for Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms, which is the sequel to Scorpion's Revenge, which came out last year, and it's probably arguably the best Mortal Kombat movie that has ever been made.
I don't know, man. The Mortal Kombat live action show trailer was pretty awesome. Or the tour, Mortal Kombat Live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
The USA show.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat Live.
No, like the USA show, the actual TV show.
Oh, isn't that like Conquest?
Yes, I think it's Conquest.
I've not seen that. I feel like I have to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But people did say like it doesn't hold up, like it falls apart by the end.
Well, it's like a prequel to everything. So it's like there are characters that you know, but then it's like
Descendants.
It's like anyone who's immortal shows up, but then anyone who's like not immortal, like Liu Kang, is not there. But anyway, this is Joe. I think I actually put the first episode up on the site, so if you want to search for that on the site, search for Mortal Kombat Conquest, you can watch that on the site. But Battle of the Realms is following up on Scorpion's Revenge, and it's basically kind of like, I don't know if it's like it seems like, I think it's probably taking a lot of inspiration from 2, Mortal Kombat 2, but like Scorpion's Revenge was like 1, but there's definitely like a lot of stuff that like you didn't know until later, like Quan Chi's there and stuff, and who wasn't around for 1 at all. So this one's probably gonna be mostly based on 2, but like probably throw a bunch of stuff from all over the Mortal Kombat timeline in there. But basically, Shao Kahn is attacking Earthrealm, and then there's this whole war's going on. But then he's basically like, "Oh, well, it's like we can stop. I'll offer you this one chance to like stop the bloodshed. We could do one final Mortal Kombat tournament, and then for the fate of like every realm. And if like our world wins, they take over every realm, not just Earthrealm, like every realm. And then if Earthrealm wins, they get to like stop our world from taking over everything."
So they double down on that, like winner takes all final combat.
Yeah, it's a winner take all like one final Mortal Kombat tournament for everything. So on the Earthrealm side, you have like Liu Kang and Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage and Jax and Striker, and then you got on the other side, on the Outworld side, you got Shang Tsung and Jade and Devorah and Kitaro and obviously Shao Kahn himself. And then they're also continuing like the Scorpion Sub-Zero stuff that they had in the first movie, where like Quan Liang, who's Sub-Zero's brother, is like out for revenge now. It's like Sub-Zero's revenge after Scorpion's revenge.
No, it isn't the good Sub-Zero.
Yeah, the one with, like, I think it's one, he has like the scar over his eye and stuff. Like he's like the good Sub-Zero. And I think pretty much the entire cast who's in the first movie are back. Like Joel McHale is playing Johnny Cage again. Jennifer Carper is playing Sonya Blade again. And then you got like a bunch of like super veteran voice actors like Matt Mercer and Greg Griffin and Robin Atkin Downs and Fred Testacore. So, and it looks like it's definitely continuing like the like crazy violence level, because like Scorpion's Revenge was like super R rated, which, and it even like did like X-ray moves and stuff, which from like the new games. And Battle of Realms is definitely doing that again. Like you're gonna see some like some crazy fatalities and X-ray stuff, and bones shattering and arms getting ripped off. So if it's as good as Scorpion's Revenge, it's gonna be pretty awesome. Because yeah, Scorpion's Revenge is like I said, Scorpion's Revenge is probably the best Mortal Kombat movie, at least as far as like accuracy of the games and like an actual like good story and like cool like cool Mortal Kombat stuff you want. And I think if you haven't seen it yet, I think it's on HBO Max, so if you want to check that out before this one. I don't know when this one's gonna be on HBO Max itself, but it's gonna be on I believe Blu-ray and DVD on and like digitally on August 31st, so you can check that out when that comes out. Have you seen Scorpion's Revenge yet, Chris?
I haven't. It's definitely on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on, we got some Zack Snyder Netflix news, because apparently like Zack Snyder's going all in on Netflix, and Netflix is going all in on Zack Snyder after, I think, Army of the Dead was like, I don't know if it's the top movie of like most watched movie of Netflix, but it's definitely in the top 10 of as far as like most watched movies. But we got some details this week about Army of Thieves, which is the Army of the Dead prequel. Although I don't think it has anything to do with zombies. Yeah, it's just gonna be like the origin story of Dieter, like the
everyone's favorite safecracker. Yeah, everyone's favorite safecracker who was in that movie for like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Still, I would like to see more about Dieter than Batista's daughter.
Oh God, yeah. But it sounds like it's gonna basically be like Zack Snyder's version of like Ocean's 11 or something, where it's gonna be like he gets recruited into like this team of like international criminals, and they're traveling across Europe like trying to crack into like these like impossible to crack into safes.
Well, my question is, this is before the zombie outbreak, right? This is just him kind of what his day job was.
Yeah, this is just like how he became like the best safe cracker that they needed for cracking into like this like zombie safe or whatever. So
it makes sense. I guess like it wasn't paid that well because he ended up working like at some like locksmith place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in this movie, like, he starts out as like a bank teller in like a small town, and then like it's like, oh, we heard, like, I don't know how, maybe he just practices on, like, his bank safe or something, but, like, so I don't know how he becomes, like, this, like, expert safe cracker, but I guess that's what the whole movie is, but, like, he gets recruited someone shows up at this bank and be like, hey, you gotta join this team of criminals. So, that's probably gonna be out in the fall this year, so Zack Snyder is cranking out the Army of the Dead universe movies, and there's still an anime prequel series that's coming as well, Army of the Dead Las Vegas. So the Army of the Dead universe is cinematic universe is expanding, and then apparently Zack Snyder is also trying to start his own like Star Wars style universe. He is directing a movie for Netflix called Rebel Moon, which apparently was back in 2012, Zack Snyder pitched a Star Wars movie to Lucasfilm, and that didn't go anywhere. But he basically retooled that into like this new movie. So this is basically like it's gonna be Zack Snyder's version of like Star Wars, and it sounds very Star Wars / like Akira Kurosawa, like it's if you're like Seven Samurai esque, where it's basically there's like this these rebels who are on a moon, and there's like this evil evil empire that's going on, and then girl has to like go around and recruit like these like warriors to like help them defend the moon, Seven Samurai style.
That's cool. I mean, it doesn't need to be Star Wars where it's like, oh, I'm the chosen one from an order of, like, wizard monks. Because that's how what people thought Star Wars was. And then I think the other things about Star Wars kind of show that it didn't have to be all about Jedis and Skywalkers. So I just really hope in this movie that he's got, it's not just like, I'm the special one because I was born, like, magical.
Yeah, I don't know if there's gonna be like whatever the equivalent, Zack Snyder's equivalent, like Jedi. Force is or anything. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean that to me the Force is like sort of the more questionable gimmicks to Star Wars. So if you make a Star Wars movie, it's like, does that mean it has like the Force, or is it just kind of like fantasy sci-fi?
Mm-hmm. And just kind of like Army of the Dead, like I think like apparently Zack Snyder wants to, like, if this first one, like if Rebel Moon does well, he wants to like basically make like a kind of like Rebel Moon universe with like more like spin this off into like a big like sci-fi epic universe.
I don't know. He's doing the Army of the Dead, and basically it's just like two things, like bank robbing and zombies. So
yeah,
Rebel Moon is gonna be more about base defense or not Jedis. Let's see. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, I give it to him. He knows how to tell a decent story sometimes.
I think he's also working on some sort of like I think it's like an like a Castlevania style like animated show for Netflix that's based on Norse mythology.
I feel like that exists already. I don't know, Vikings Saga Land. I forgot the exact title, but it's on Amazon Prime Video and it's amazing. It's like it was like when Japan got really into like Norse stuff and Viking stuff. So I guess they're trying to get onto that too.
Yeah. But yeah, Netflix is all aboard the Zack Snyder trade. So if you're a fan of Zack Snyder and you don't have Netflix, you better get Netflix right now. So we also this week got some news about a new RoboCop game that is coming out in 2023. So it seems a little early to announce it, considering it's like 2 years away, but they Nacon, the publisher, did announce it, and it's going to be developed by Taeon, who is the studio that developed Terminator Resistance, which I've heard is actually pretty good.
It's like surprisingly good, but
have you played it, Chris?
I've just watched so many playthroughs of it. It's like it's fun as an FPS, but it's not long enough where like it's worth like, well, I think the price was like a full game. I think it was just like, oh, this actually wasn't as bad as people thought it would be.
Yeah, I've been watching it for a while. Like if it ever got to below like $20, I'd be like, I'm not, I'll grab it if it's like below 20. But it's like it's been like 30 forever. So it's on my like Amazon wish list and like my PlayStation like store like watch list. So, but yeah, it hasn't really been on sale at all. But yeah, so Taeon is developing this new RoboCop game called RoboCop Rogue City. And they're apparently working with MGM, so they have like the full like rights to like the movies and the like OG RoboCop character and probably other things. But I'm sure probably Ed 209 will probably show up at some point in this game. OCP.
I feel like yeah. It always shows up.
Yeah,
it's like never a time where it doesn't show up.
Some new version of it, or like just like, oh, we made like 50 of them, like. And it's going to be on console and PC, which by 2023, I don't know if that, like, it'll probably be mostly into, like, the PS5 era by that point. Like, I feel like people might be, like, moved away from, like, PS4 by that point. Unless PS5s are still, like, it's impossible to get. So,
and, like, Xbox
One, yeah. Well, apparently now, like PS4s and Xbox One, like, X, like the 1X and like the S are also like impossible to find now.
Really? Huh.
I don't know what the reason behind that is, but like, yeah, apparently like PS4s and PS4 Pros and Xbox One X and X's are all like sold out everywhere.
Well, maybe because like there's certain games that basically you don't need to pay top dollar for, so they're just like, just get the old console because it's getting on sale.
Yeah.
But this is the last year of that. Like, come new Christmas and all that, the new holiday rush, definitely PS5s will be everywhere.
Hopefully.
We'll see. I mean, people, if game development studios want us to play the next game gaming, the next, you know, all these new games, I'm just like, well, where the hell am I going to play this on?
Mm-hmm.
Even PC parts are expensive. Like, graphic cards are still out the door. Like, I don't know what we're going to do for gaming.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so for this RoboCop game, we got a teaser trailer. There's not really too much in it. It's just like a CG kind of like tone thing of just like, we're making a RoboCop game. Here's like a 5 second shot of RoboCop like putting his gun out of his leg, so you know it's RoboCop. Like,
it's just like footage from Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like given that they made Terminator Resistance, I feel like this is probably gonna be a first person shooter. Because I don't think you could make like a third person action game with RoboCop. It's probably gonna be like a slower paced first person shooter. Because you gotta like integrate like his like heads up display and like the auto targeting stuff and all that stuff that like you get to see in the movies of like him like he's going like inside his helmet and stuff. And hopefully it's better than like was it like the Xbox game, like that last big like RoboCop game,
the tightest like, Fox game.
Yeah. Oh my god. And then the most recent thing we've seen of RoboCop has been Mortal Kombat 11. So. Oh, I wonder. They didn't say. I wonder if they'll get Peter Weller back to voice RoboCop for this game.
I don't know. I feel like he kind of like has not touched that role in years.
Well, didn't he voice the Mortal Kombat 11 stuff?
Oh wait, you're right. Yeah.
So I mean, he's apparently still down to do it. So.
But I mean, throw him enough money, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, two years from now, who knows? But. Yeah, so, 2023, I don't know, we probably won't see much of this until, like, we probably won't see more of it until, like, next year, maybe, or something. Like, I feel like this is just, like, I feel like they just probably started working on this. They're just like, hey, we're making this.
Is the trailer done? Yeah, good enough. All right, send it out.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully it's good. Hopefully hopefully we'll see more of it soon. So we're definitely keeping an eye out for that one. And then other news, Lovecraft Country was unfortunately canceled last week. HBO is not going to move forward with a second season of that show.
So weird of them to do that.
Especially like so late, like because that show was like August of last year, and now it's like July of this year, and they're like, we decided not to bring it back.
Not this phenomenal show that got people to be addicted to it and like critically like was good. Everyone who watched it enjoyed it. I don't know why they were just like, nah, we hate making money.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really say what the reason is. I don't think I don't know if it's like a ratings thing or if it was like I don't know if like it was just like. Cost cost wise, like because there's a lot of special effects in it and stuff. I don't know if that was the reason, but
I don't know, that's the most obvious reason is that the cost of it was too much that they're not recouping fast enough. But I mean, how would you want more people to spend on it? It's not like they're buying Love Country merchandise or toys to subsidize some of the pricing. Mm-hmm. Like HBO Max is making HBO enough money, but I also feel like this is also part of that like merger that happened. And they're like really cutting back on things, so in order to like just to let it go, they're just gonna cancel it. Because I could see them. Oh, I think HBO is like cleaning house. So
I think another reason too is like apparently, so there's only the one. So like it's based on the book by Matt Ruff, obviously. And there's only the one book, and they basically used all the stuff that was in the book for the first season. So that might be a thing too. Of like they basically have to like figure out like we have to figure out all like totally new everything for this new season. We don't have a guide anymore for like what we could do for it. So
yeah, but I mean, look at how they do it in Watchmen. Like, just go off originality.
Yeah. Well, I guess like the showrunner, like Misha Green, like she revealed like a bunch of stuff that sounded like crazy. Like it was gonna be like they're gonna bring in zombies and they're gonna have like I think it was gonna be like there's gonna be like a separate like Black America because like that was the whole thing at the end. Like there's
like a utopia.
Like, yeah, like because they got magic now. Like they like basically took magic back for themselves at the end of the first season. So now it's like they're carving out like their own like magical like United States. So I mean, yeah. So they had ideas for the sixth season. I guess so, like HBO just didn't want to whatever reason it was. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is. It's not like, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, where, like, it starts there, and then HBO Online, like HBO Max or Netflix, Amazon, or Peacock could just pick it up and then make, like, a special streaming-only version of it. Like, because it started on HBO, like, that's where it dies, too.
So yeah.
That's kind of... sucky, but I mean, again, it ended on a good note. It just sucks because you know it could be more.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that show is just getting sucked at the MCU.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors is gonna be Kang. Wonmi Musaku is B-15 on Loki. So. But yeah, definitely that's like one of the crappier cancellations this year. So last bit news for this week is that we got some news about a couple of upcoming kind of spy action movies, big blockbusters. So we got a release date for Red Notice, which is a big Netflix blockbuster. It's going to be out November 12th this year. And this is a Dwayne Johnson, Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds movie, where those three are kind of like teamed up for this like globetrotting action spy espionage movie.
It's basically The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes, I guess, yeah. I think the plot is like The Rock is like an Interpol agent, and then he's tracking down like
Rock's Interpol.
I think The Rock is Interpol, and then I think Gal Gadot might be like this like art like world famous art thief, and then he's trying to track her down, and then like Ryan Reynolds is like a con artist or something who just like joined up with like his team up with like The Rock. Or they all team up. They're all forced to team up together to do something.
I'm not sure if you remember this TV show movie also called like One's a Thief.
I think I might have heard of it, but
it was a John Woo movie, and then America like bought the rights to make like a TV show movie. Like I think it was like a TV show movie, and then they made a TV series. It was like a pilot episode, and then they did like a whole bunch of episodes for it. It's like almost the same presence, where it's like two thieves, like there's three thieves, but like their relationship is always strained, but they're like, they kind of steal things in like dumb ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're good at what they do, but they just don't look good on paper. So that was their thing. But I feel like this is a little different, like it's playing around that formula. Because you can't have The Rock and Ron Reynolds and not expect a comedy movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be like action comedy. Ross and Thurber Marshall is the director, or Ross and Marshall Thurber is director, who directed Central Intelligence and Skyscraper for The Rock. So, it feels like this is gonna be probably maybe lean more toward like Central Intelligence, maybe not all the way like comedy like that one was, but maybe like halfway between like Central Intelligence and Skyscraper. And then we also got casting news for Matthew Vaughn's, one of his next movies. We're still waiting for the King's Man that like has been delayed forever, seemingly, but it's finally coming out like later this year. But he's making a new spy franchise starter, possibly. It's this movie called Argyle, which is based on like there's a upcoming spy novel called Argyle, which is going to be apparently going to be like a series of books, and then they're going to try to make a series of movies based on it as well. But it's going to star Henry Cavill, and he's going to be the world's greatest spy, Argyle. And along with Henry Cavill, we're going to get Sam Rockwell, Bryce Dallas Howard, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, John Cena, Samuel L. Jackson, and Dua Lipa in her acting debut. And it seems like Dua Lipa is gonna make like a Bond style like theme song for it as well.
Interesting.
And yeah, so yeah, crazy cast. And then Matthew Vaughn, like, I mean, it's probably gonna be that as far as it's probably gonna be awesome action wise because Kingsman is awesome. So it's probably gonna be Kingsman-esque, I would imagine. Hopefully, maybe like since Henry Cavill starring it, maybe we can get sort of like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. sequel that everyone wants.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever gonna get now.
No. But yeah, so the book is gonna be published next year, and then they're gonna start shooting the movie next month. So maybe it seems like maybe the movie and the book are gonna come out like the same year, like next year sometime.
Yeah, because I never heard of this character.
Yeah, this book it's a not published book yet. Like the book is getting published next year, so no one's read this book yet. But apparently it was like good enough for to like that they picked up for a movie and Matthew Vaughn signed on for it, and they got this crazy cast for it. So apparently, I don't know, if people must have read it at like the studio and stuff and been like, yeah, this is gonna be our next big thing, because they want to do at least a trilogy of like Argyle movies. So yeah, so hopefully we'll get more info on that soon. Then we'll finally see The King's Man this year, so we'll finally get some new Matthew Vaughn stuff later on. And that is it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, you and I both saw The Tomorrow War, which was the biggest, one of the biggest things that happened this past weekend. There's a ton of stuff going on this weekend as far as like streaming and theaters and everything else, holidays. Yeah, Tomorrow War was pretty huge. 2.4 million people, like we mentioned at the top of the show, and it's already getting a sequel. Amazon is greenlit a sequel for Tomorrow War. But yeah, what did you think of just in general of Tomorrow War?
I thought it was good, but flawed. Like, it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. I said it was like solid, mindless fun. Like, if you don't think about it too much, it's pretty fun. There's a lot of like cool action stuff, and like I really thought like the design of the aliens is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like how basically the world is decimated by a monster that can decimate humanity in a really reasonable way, but the scale is crazy. So I guess we'll talk about the one thing I don't like about the enemy.
Oh, well, let's say, so spoilers for Tomorrow War, if you haven't seen it yet, like, skip ahead, like, 5-10 minutes, and then, or pause and come back, but,
go see it, then come back here.
Yeah, we're gonna dive into some specific details, so.
Yeah, especially like this, where, basically, the enemy is just, like, almost like a feral bat alien. Thing
they can shoot spikes, so they call them white spikes. They can shoot spikes out of these like tentacle things, and
they look like little miniature Cloverfields in a bit.
They're sort of that same kind of design, but like I think they're like slightly more I think they're cooler than the Cloverfield monster. Like they have like more like they're like they have more going on, I think.
Okay.
But I thought like the first time you see one, it's just like you see I don't I'm not sure if that was practical or not. Like, I've seemed like it was kind of practical, but it's like the one kind of just like popped out of like the top of the hole at the stairs, and just like you see all his teeth, and it's just like, oh shit, this is what we're fighting.
Yeah, but my issue with that is, okay, like, why don't you show like the people who are gonna fight them what they look like, so they have an idea how to prepare, or what the, because their training was just like, we're just gonna give you a gun and you shoot wildly at it.
I think there's an explanation for like why Chris Pratt's group is so unprepared, is that like they had to jump because they like there was some sort of like thing with like they had to jump immediately or something, because like there's like a some sort of time travel thing. I was just like, oh, we have to jump, got moved ahead or whatever, like we have no time.
So they're the reason I get that, but then no one from their surviving jump mentioned what they look like.
Yeah, but I still think that the whole plan of like, well first of all, like these people from the future show up in like 2022 in the middle of the World Cup, and then everyone is just immediately on board, just like, all right, yep. Like, every world government is just like, sure, yep, we're good.
No proof, no nothing. Come on in.
Yeah, and then so they sent it, like every country sends like military for at first, and then they all get wiped out basically. So it's like, well, we gotta send untrained civilians.
Just keep doing this for a while.
Send wave after. It's like Zap Brannigan level. Like, send wave after wave of my own troops against them. Just keep sending wave after wave of like untrained, like train civilians for a week, and then send them off to the future for a week, and then like most of them get killed, or then if they don't get killed, they come back horribly traumatized or scarred physically.
But then it's like, don't tell anyone what happened here. Don't even write, like, take a photo or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess isn't the other explanation of just like if people knew what they were fighting, they would like everyone would just like try to like escape the draft or something, or like never they would never volunteer.
And they're forced to go already based on they're forced to go based on the device they kind of clamped on, and the thing's like mandatory.
Yeah. Well, oh. I guess that was the whole deal in the first. Like, if like the future people had like said right away, like you're fighting like these like snarling alien monsters that can like shoot spikes and like rip you to pieces in seconds. Like, they would have never done the draft in the first place, I guess, or something. It's a super weak. It's just one part of this whole terrible future. The future like armed forces are just have like terrible strategies. Like, it's like don't tell anyone what you're fighting. Just grab like untrained civilians, and then just send them to, like, instead of like training them in the past, like just throw them into the future and just like pray, like just like fight for like this like however many like half a year you have left before like humanity is wiped out. Like, don't try to like stop that from happening at all. Just like be like, we're gonna fight for like this like decimated wasteland of an Earth in the future.
Yeah, super weird.
And then it's like it makes it even worse when you find out that Yvonne Strahovski, who's like Chris Pratt's grown daughter in the future, who's like the commander of everything, like she really only cared about like getting like Chris Pratt to the future so that she could give him like this like poison? That would kill the aliens in the past. But it's like, if that was your plan all along, why are you sending wave after wave of civilians against these aliens? If you're just like,
well,
like,
I guess they needed time.
Or they thought they could maybe like that would work stupidly. But it's like, yeah, if you have this poison plan, and that's like your whole thing is just like. The only thing that matters is at some point my dad comes to the future and I give him this like serum and then like send him back to the past and then he can wipe out the aliens. Well, I guess what was the original plan, because like their whole base got blown up. But, like the planet, if the aliens hadn't attacked them, that like Chris Pratt was gonna go to the future and they were gonna manufacture a bunch of the poison and send it back to the future so they could kill them in the future.
Yeah, and then. But that was a bad plan because your future current is terrible. There's only 500,000 people left.
Yeah, and like every city's decimated. Like, it's just like, yeah, like.
What are you trying to save here?
Like, yeah, Chris Pratt's like backup plan is like the actual better plan. Like, that's like an actual like, yes, that's what we should be doing, is like trying to stop this from happening to begin with.
Yeah, like the accidental plot of the movie is near the end of like, we should stop this early. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was surprised that like the like climax was in the past, like back in like the like present day. It would like that it was the whole movie was in the future.
I had a funny feeling it was gonna be the present.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think they showed any of like the snow climax part in the trailers
was,
at all.
Yeah, that was new.
Yeah. The thing, like, spacecraft that, like, they find in, like, Russia or whatever. Which is great. Like, I love how, like, the Secretary of Defense or whatever, he's, like, he was all on board for, like, sending civilians into, like, the future to die, but he's, like, oh, you can prevent this whole war from happening? Nah, dog.
Who's paying the credit for that? Like, I get, basically, they didn't want that because of the politics.
And then I love how, they lose contact with the future because like the time travel tower in the future gets blown up, so they can't send it. Like, they're just, that's it. That's the war's over to everyone, basically.
Yeah.
And then like the entire like 2022 just like devolves into anarchy. Like,
well, I mean, like listen, every country that is what happens here. Like,
yeah.
So that's not a far fetched thing.
But it was just like immediately. It's just like, well. We're like, the U.S. has to fight China, Russia, every like five other countries because they're all like, now we're all just gonna blow each other up now. All right.
That is true. Like, pretty much every thing that was gonna go wrong, like by today's standards, did. I'm surprised they didn't run out of toilet paper or some dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
Uh Okay. I mean, we could talk logistically about all the crazy things, because, like, so they knew a poison could kill the males, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't they send that to the past manufacturer to bring to the present to help them fight more?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't kill the female, but that would, like, at least, like, really help wipe out, like, the other ones that are running around and, like, give you, like, a huge advantage.
A big advantage, right? Like,
Because, what, there's one female, and then all the rest of them are
oh,
males?
confused about that too, right? I did not understand how that one was. It multiple females, or she was the last female? Is she the main female? I have no idea.
I think it was the classic thing of, like, oh, everyone we've all the ones we've been fighting are males, but there's one, like, queen.
Only one queen?
I think so. I think
Oh,
it's, like,
they.
classic, like, aliens style of, like.
They did mention that, like, the males are super protective of the female, but it's like, is
Yeah.
that the only female?
I think that's the implication, is, like, that's the only female in the world.
So just shoot her. Like, I don't know. That
And
pissed
then
me off.
yeah, th and then it's like, oh, she's resistant to the poisons. We have to, like, figure out, like, a poison that'll kill her, and then
But
let's.
then you don't need a poison if bombs and, like, firepower can still kill everything.
Yeah, Chris Pratt kills her back in the present in, like, 2022 with, like, a fucking, like, ice climbing axe. So it's like.
Yeah, see, that really downplays the future, I guess.
Yeah. The future is just all, like, everyone in the future is just a ter like just the dumbest strategist ever. Like, all their plans are horrible.
Are they even strategists, or are they just like a bunch of kids? And that's the point, maybe, is that like they
Maybe,
don't know what they're
yeah.
doing?
I guess, yeah. Chris Pratt should have trained his like just like trained his daughter in more, like, military strategies, apparently.
Yeah, I think if that happens, then you kind of like avoid.
He needs to, like, Sarah Connor her and be like, all right, we're gonna go travel around and, like, I'm gonna teach you, like, we're gonna, like, have you train with all these different people. Or we were saying, like, just tr like literally train every single person on the planet to, it's like, all right, every like everyone needs to go, like, this, like, mandatory combat training to, like, be able to, like, get ready for, like, when these aliens show up.
Which I think would have been fine if they explained more about that process, but they really jump straight into the whole, like, you're in the army now, go.
Yep.
We're gonna grab anyone, like, even like a cook wearing an outfit.
Yeah,
That
what
was
the hell?
weird.
What
That
was that
was
about?
jarring.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like Chris Pratt had like a few days to pack or something.
Yeah.
That
Well,
guy showed up right there.
yeah. Well, luckily Chris Pratt was, like, a Mark Wahlberg in Transformers-esque, like, he's, like, a super science nerd, but he's also, like, a Green Beret badass, so he can do both.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah. Spec up science teacher.
Also, what companies was he hiring for that they wouldn't let him? Because he figured out a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think there's one kind of clever time travel thing where, like, it's they mentioned that it's like, oh, we only send people to the future that are already dead in 2051 to, like, not disturb the timeline there, and then it's like
Okay, yeah, so there are clever things.
everyone gets sent back to 2022 from the future, hasn't been born yet.
So it's like you can only go between if you don't exist, because then you can't come back. Like, you know, like that kind of made sense to me.
You can only travel back, like, you can only go to the future if you're dead, and you can only go back if you're not born yet. So you a version of yourself can't exist in the time you're going to.
I didn't mind that. That was pretty clever. But I did mind the whole okay. So you had that one guy that was dying of cancer, so he just kept coming back and forth to just
Because he wanted to just, like, kill
was gonna
stuff, I
live
guess.
anyway.
Yeah.
But he was the only one with like souvenirs, like the claw.
Yeah.
Like he was the only person that brought back future tech. And no one else did. So it's like, wouldn't you just keep doing, like, even if you'd died in the future, like, wouldn't you just go back to the past before that and recruit them earlier? Or
Well,
is it just from that? 30-year period constantly.
I guess that's the thing with, like, because, like, they do, like, their, like time travel, like, this is how time travel works, like, they're, like, end game, like, this is how time travel works thing, like, in this movie, where it's just, like, they have the whole, like, the some of the future soldiers is, like, so it's, like, we have two rafts, and, like, time is a river, and the river's constantly moving, but we can only go back and forth between the two rafts, so I think, like, time's always moving forward, but you can jump back and forth between these 2 years, but you can't go back, like, you can't go before, like they appear, like, you can't go back, like, before they appeared at the World Cup or something. You can't go back farther than, like, it's basically, like, when you go back, it's, like, however long you've been away, like, because, like, everyone who gets drafted has to be there for a week, and then when they come back to, like, 2022, it's a week later. So it's like the past time in the past is like moving
the same time
real time as, like, okay. The future, yeah.
Okay, because I was really wondering about how that works, because it's like it has to be it's linear in that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, I also love like that whole thing where, like, like Chris Pratt's group just gets totally fucked because, like, they have no time to train. And then when they jump, like, something gets fucked up with, like, the coordinates. They get dumped out of the air over Miami, and, like, half, like, two thirds of them just get slammed into skyscrapers, like, into the ground. Which, like, was cool visually, but then, like, it was so crazy. Just, like, they just, like, it's like they, like, skydiving without a parachute, and, like, Chris Pratt just, like, barely managed to, like, luckily, like, a bunch of people, like, hit that pool, because that was, like, the only thing that saved, like half the squad, but, like, everyone just hit that pool.
Yeah, I thought that was a crazy opening where it's like, okay, no wonder people are dying so much if they're just dropping you straight into, like,
death. I think that, like, then you find out, like, something, like, went horribly wrong with that jump. Like, I think normally you'd do a short, like, a little jump, and then you're, like, you, like, land, like, a short little bit above the ground, like, just land on the ground.
It wasn't too crazy. It's just that the only example we got about future was the Chris Pratt group, which I think if they showed us another group beforehand, I think that would have been fine, but the movie really builds up towards that moment. Mm-hmm. And I ever watch Screen Rant's pitch series?
Every once in a while. I haven't seen, like, if he did a Tomorrow War one, I haven't seen that one yet, but
I don't want to ruin it, but he does mention, like, hey, like, we'll do this. And it's like, then why even, like, why spoil that moment by showing it as, like, the first thing in the
cold open? Yeah.
Cold open of it. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, again, the impact is cool, but just some of the executions were just not great. But overall, like, I still enjoyed, like, the chemistry between Chris Pratt and his dad.
Oh, yeah, J.K. Simmons is awesome, as always.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed his, like, being, was, like, off-grid and, like, paranoid.
I was very worried that, like, he was only in that one scene in the beginning. I'm just like, oh, God, is J.K. Simmons just doing a cameo in this movie? Like, is this the only scene he's going to be in? And it's like, but then he comes back at the end and I'm just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool that he got more involved into it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand, like, he went to his dad, who built the devices so he can run away.
Yeah,
like, that's how he made his money.
He figured out a way to beat the, like, draft bracelets or whatever. So, like, I guess he makes it look like you're actually, I don't know what he's doing something so that, like, you can, like, take it off, but then, like, they're not able to track you anymore, and you just, like, run away.
I guess you run away.
Yeah. But then Chris Pratt does a classic, like, Star Lord thing, and, like, just goes completely emotional. And it's like, well, fuck you, Dad. I don't want your help anyway. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to the future now, I guess
I'm going to go to war.
Yeah. And then later he does another, like, stupid Star Lord move where he's like, there's a countdown to, like, him getting sent back to the past, and then, like, he and his grown daughter in the future are, like, running through, like, the base where it's getting blown up by the aliens. And then he's carrying, like, this, like, precious serum that can, like, save humanity or whatever. And then his daughter, like, falls off the base after she got stabbed, first of all, and then she's, like, falling off the base. as then he jumps off the base to like try to grab her. It's just like, dude, she told you to like that, like the only thing that matters is the serum, and then he's just like, nope, I'm gonna jump into like this explosion into like the abyss and try to grab you, and then I don't, it's like, then we'll both die maybe.
Maybe, yeah, just a lot of dumb things.
I don't know. I have no certainty that like this like time travel thing is gonna work because the like tower is getting blown up. So like I don't have any like certainty that I'm gonna get sent back to the past. But yeah, like I said, like I think if you don't think about too much about it, you just like kind of enjoy like the like summer blockbustery like action of it. Like it's like a dumb Edge of Tomorrow or something. Like it's sort of in that vein. But yeah. I mean, Edge of Tomorrow is like so much better than this. But it's like a kind of just fun Milo's turned on movie. Because this is supposed to go like originally come out in theaters, so I don't know like if the pay for it go to theater. Like I don't
good in theaters. I don't know.
Yeah. As it's just like a quote unquote free movie on Prime Video. Like yeah, perfectly fine. And also you can definitely see like the budget of it too, because like this thing costs like $200 million, so. You definitely see a lot of like the like money on the screen as far as like the effects and like all the aliens and all the crazy time travel stuff and the future settings and everything. So besides Tomorrow War, Chris, did you see anything else?
Loki. Watch the latest episode of Loki.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yep. I called it last week where I was like the weird not incest Loki thing was the power.
Mm-hmm. Together they're the strong. Although yeah. not as strong as classic Loki, like comic like Richard E. Grant classic Loki, who can like create all like an entire like fake Asgard.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And I can't believe those maniacs put in like they put in the Thanos copter. I can't believe that showed up.
The background, yeah.
Yeah. I think also like Thor, like Throg, like the, yep. the yep, Throg Thor there. Showed up. Yeah. Yeah, that was just like this along with like just being like an awesome episode, like it was just like Easter egg palooza. Like you just want to like start pausing and like try to figure out what's in the background and stuff, like. And there was like Avengers Tower, and like also a couple other landmarks, and like other like just scattered things around that you could like kind of like try to figure out what it is. I think there's like a crashed like shield helicarrier and like a Kree ship, I think, and stuff. And it's like, there's tons of MCU like Easter egg stuff in the background.
Oh yeah, I watched like three like channels that were watching. They were like talking about what was in the background and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely an awesome idea of like, oh, this like it's when you get like pruned or whatever, like anything, all the timelines that we saw like getting like wiped out by those like bombs and like anyone that got pruned by like the sticks, they all get sent
there.
Just one just dumping ground of everything. So yeah, so I'm super excited to see the last episode next week. Hopefully it'll stick the landing, and then it'll be like if it does stick the landing, it's gonna be. Probably definitely the best MCU show, and then maybe like one of the best MCU things ever.
Yep, I could agree with that one. I just, you know, I once I saw the cloud monster, I was like, oh god, like back with all the ways I see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess whatever the creature is like actually a cloud monster from the comics, so that kind of made sense to still keep it as a cloud monster.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else, Chris?
That's about it. What about you, Zach?
I saw a couple of the other big streaming things that happened over the holiday weekend last weekend. So over on Netflix, I saw Fear Street Part 1, 1994, which is the part one of the trilogy. It's every week for like this week and the next week is two more movies. Actually, if you're hearing this right now, like part two is up, 1978. And then next week is going to be the finale, 1666. But yeah, obviously based on the R.L. Stine books, which were sort of, Fear Street was sort of like, I didn't read a lot of them, but they were basically like if you have been reading Goosebumps for a while, but then you like you kind of like out, if you outgrew Goosebumps, it was like, you kind of like graduated to Fear Street because Fear Street was kind of like more slightly more mature and like more like it, more, like there was like the dangers were things were more dangerous in the Fear Street books, like people actually died in the Fear Street books, so it's, like as opposed to like Goosebumps,
everyone kind of like haha that was funny.
And yeah, and it was all, it's all like all the kids in like the Fear Street books are teenagers instead of like whatever they like 10-year-olds in the Goosebumps books. And yeah, so this trilogy movies is picking up on there. It's set in the same town as Fear Street, so it's this town is Shadyside, which I don't think the books did this, but the movies are doing this where it's like it's Shadyside is like very like it's like very like impoverished and like economically depressed and like crimes everywhere. But then there's like there's a neighboring town called Sunnyvale, which has like hasn't been crime there in like 50 years, and it's like everyone's super rich there. There's like mansions and like just, it's like these super like complete opposite towns next to each other. And then everyone in Shadyside, or like most of the kids in Shadyside, are like think that like the reason everything is so horrible in Shadyside is because they're like back in like the 1666 when like the which we're gonna see in the final movie, there was this witch called Sarah Fear, and she got hung, but then she like basically cursed the town, and like every couple decades or every couple years like she like possesses someone and then turns them into like a crazy killer. So there's this whole string of killers that has like existed in like the past of like Fear Street or like Shadyside. And actually 1984 kind of kicks off like it's definitely like an homage to like 90s slashers, like Scream is definitely like a big influence on this first movie. And it kicks off with like a whole like kind of Scream kind of like sequence where like Maya Hawke from Stranger Things is like this like kind of guest star in the cold open, but she gets murdered by like the kind of this like ghost face kind of killer, like who's like it's like skull mask, and it's just like this Halloween costume is like in like this like Spencer's Gift style sort of this mall. But then the person in that costume gets like shot by the police, but then he comes back, and then like other killers in the past come back because like basically like the main group that we're following, like they accidentally disturb like Sarah Fear's grave, and it's particularly this one girl, Sam. And so like basically like Sarah Fear's just like, oh well, I'm gonna kill you girl for like disturbing my grave. And so she sends like this like trio of killers from the past against them, and so basically they have the group has to figure like how to stop like these killers from killing Sam, because they realize like that they're only after her, like her blood. So there's this whole thing of like, oh, we have to we're safe, but we have to figure out a way to like get them like away from Sam and like save her. It's actually like it's like this group is like a lot more clever than like the normal like dumb slasher teens. Like they actually come up with like some pretty clever plans, and like they like realize things pretty quickly and like are able to like figure things out pretty quickly. So it's like kind of like a refreshing like, oh, these aren't just like dumb like Friday their teeth idiots who like are just here to get slaughtered. Like
they actually put some thought into it, huh?
Yeah. And yeah, and then some fun like slashers, like it's R-rated, so there's like some, there's a lot of like gore and a lot of like crazy stuff happening, although not a lot of like over, like not a lot of like crazy kills as far as like inventive or like different than like, there's a lot of like just classic like Scream style, just like getting stabbed, like people are getting stabbed in the gut with a knife style stuff, or, like getting their throat slashed or whatever. There's a crazy kill with like a, I think it's like a bread slicer at a grocery store toward the end. That's pretty, it's pretty nuts. Oh, they also like hit like all the like kind of like classic like horror, like 90, like I guess just horror in general, like settings, because like they go to like, it's like a hospital, and it's like a school, and it's like a grocery store. So they hit like all these like kind of like classic locations and stuff. So I thought it was a ton of fun. If you're into like slashers and stuff and like horror movies, I'd say definitely check it out. Or if you like read the Fear Street books, in like the 90s, and you want to like check this out, I'm definitely excited to see the next two, because I like this one ends in a cliffhanger, so I'm interested to see like they're going back in time in the next two chapters, but I wonder how they're gonna like kind of like resolve like this present day story, because that's still ongoing. So I feel like we're gonna get parts of like the present day story moving forward, but also we're gonna like see like flash like we're gonna flash back to like these other two events in Shady Side history. Like the one this week is basically gonna be just like a straight up like Friday the 13th ripoff or like homage, because it's set like this like summer camp, and it's just like this like axe murderer is running around killing everybody.
It's just like kind of like random, or is it just related to something about like this girl that was accused of being like a witch? You know what I mean? Is it just like, oh, an axe killer? It's like, is it related? Did this witch summon this axe killer?
Yeah, well, I think the idea is that Sarah Fear, who's like this witch who cursed the town, she like her spear or like her whatever her like whatever she did to curse the town, like she's possessing people and like turning them into killers.
I see.
And then they go on a crazy killing spree, and then they like get killed by the police or whatever, or like or captured or whatever, and they die. Like, but there's this whole thing like it goes back like centuries of like just like every decade or every couple of years, like there's like some new killer that like started like running around like Shadyside. There's actually a fun like 90s thing with like one of the main characters, like her little brother, is like on like AOL chat boards about like the killers, and he has like this whole like 90s printout of like he's that big like conspiracy board of like all the killers of the past. So like he's the one like who knows like kind of figures out what's going on. It's like guys, listen, like this has been happening for decades, like you're like I know everything about each of these killers. So yeah, so definitely fun if you definitely were checking out. And yeah, like part two is up right now if you're hearing this, and then part three is next week. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the next two chapters to see how this whole thing, see these like past episodes, but also like how the present day is going to wrap up. And then also on Netflix, I watched America the Motion Picture, which is a big new animated comedy with a bunch of famous people in it. Like definitely tied into like the 4th of July holiday, because it's all about like, it's just like very anachronistic take on like American history. I will say it's okay. It's not great.
Oh, that's a shame.
I feel like it's not really too, like there's not, like the writing is not really clever. It just kind of feels like they were like, I don't know, like it definitely feels kind of improv-y, where just like they didn't like write like clever jokes. They're just like, oh, just like, I don't know, just like start cursing. Like it's funny because like, it's like you're George Washington, but you're saying fuck a lot. So that's the whole joke of this. Like, it also kind of has like I don't know, like Axe Cop vibes, where it's just like it's a lot of just like random nonsense. Which can be fun. Like some of it's definitely fun, but like other times it's just like, what? Like, but yeah, it's like, I mean, right off the bat, like it's just totally like it lets you know like, it's like totally just like not even gonna like, care about like anything that's like historically accurate, because like basically like right off the bat, like the founding fathers like signed the Declaration of Independence, but then Benedict Arnold shows up and kills them all, and then Benedict Arnold is also a werewolf.
Okay.
Apparently. So, and then he goes to find Abe Lincoln and George Washington, who are apparently best friends, even though Abe Lincoln was like 100 years after everything happened there. But in the world of this movie, like they're best friends, and Abe Lincoln is the one who like was like behind the whole the revolution. But then Benedict Arnold like turns to the werewolf and rips Abe Lincoln's throat out. So then like Abe's like, Abe basically tasked George Washington with continuing the revolution, but like George Washington is voiced by Channing Tatum. He's very much like Channing Tatum's like 21 Jump Street character. He's just like this like dumb partying frat boy guy who doesn't care about the revolution. But then he's like, all right, well, I gotta like continue my Abe's mission. And then, so then he like recruits like this like expendable style team of like other like, it's like Sam Adams, who is voiced by Jason Mantzoukas, who's like this like just like beer swilling like maniac. And then Thomas Edison, who is actually like a woman voiced by Olivia Munn, who is she has like,
oh,
like
that's who all, she is.
Yeah, and she has like all this like she has basically like these like Iron Man style gauntlets and like all this like science technology. And then like Geronimo and John Henry and like other like, so it's like a mix of like actual historical characters but also just like fictional characters from like American like folklore and stuff. And yeah, there's just a lot of it feels like a lot of like very like improv-y of just like people, like it's just like, I don't know, just like curse for like 10 minutes and then we'll move on to another scene. Like there's a lot of just like conversation of just like there's like them just like kind of just like talking to each other and like figuring out plans and stuff, and it's just like I just saying fuck a lot and just like making some sort of anachronistic like reference or something.
Does it feel like it's very formalic? Like there's a formula to everything.
It just feels like a lot of random it just feels like really random and like not really like thought out. It definitely feels like this is like just like a rough draft of the script, and they like that never got fleshed out. Just no one said no to anything. And like they just put everything that like it's like they had like no restrictions, so that kind of like sometimes like really like hinders things. Like,
well, that's what happens when you have like too many funny writers. It just starts dogpiling on.
Yeah. Cause I think it's like a lot of like people from like Archer and stuff, and like some other like big like that like legitimately great stuff. But I wonder if it's the thing of like, I think like the South Park guys have mentioned this before, where it's like when you're unrestrained, like you're kind of just like it, like you, it's like you're less clever than if you're like have to like be like restricted to like a rating or something.
That kind of like, makes sense. Like if, you don't like, you get kind of like drunk.
If you can just like do and say whatever you want, then like you just, yeah, you get a lot of like it's just like every like. A lot of just like nonsense and anything goes. But if you're kind of like forced into like a TV rating or or you have sort of like a rating restriction on you, and then you're like you're more clever about like how you like kind of like skirt that rating.
That makes sense.
I don't know. It's sort of like in the vein like Team America or something, but like Team America did have clever jokes and stuff and like was more focused. I think that's the main thing. Like, I think America the Motion Picture is just like it's totally unfocused. Like it's just all over the place, like randomness of less like character showing up and like just like random like just random jokes. Like there's like a part where like they go to recruit like Paul Revere, who's like this he's the best like horse racer in like America, but then the whole like horse racing world is like this like Fast and the Furious, like everyone has like neon on them and stuff, and it's all like rap music playing and stuff. So it's like I guess that's clever, I guess, but it's also just like oh I get it, it's like Fast and the Furious but the American Revolution and they're on horses. That's funny.
Aha.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I would say if you're interested, like maybe check it out, and then, but if you're not feeling it in like the first like 10-15 minutes, I would say just like you're not missing much if you decide to like bail out and like quit, because it's basically like that's the whole thing. The first like 10-15-20 minutes is like the whole movie. So if you're not into it by then, definitely bail out.
I definitely see it. But I feel like I'm like it's not my first choice. Cause I feel like the trailer showed me a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's gonna be like all those jokes are repeated over and over again.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. And it's definitely just, and it's definitely just disappointing, like, considering the cast they got. Like, there's so many awesome people in this movie, but, like, it's just, they just don't really have a lot to, like, work with, or it's just, like, they kind of just, like, I don't know if they're improvising, or they're like, going off, like, just, like, this, like, kind of, like, unfocused script, but, yeah, they just, they repeat a bunch of jokes a lot of times, and it's just, like, it's kind of, like, a lot of it is, like, one note the entire time. Like, I feel like Sam Adams, like, Jason Mantzoukas, Sam Adams is like the same. It's just the same thing over and over again. Like, he's just like a crazy beer swilling, like maniac, like a frat douche maniac. He's just like, and that's the entire movie. This is just his thing. So yeah, so that was kind of disappointing. And then last thing I saw is that I got from my Netflix disc service, I got The Great Train Robbery, which is, I think it's a 1971 movie, which it's a Sean Connery, Donald Sutherland movie. Oh, from 1978. So, and it's based on Michael Crichton's book, and Michael Crichton also directed this movie and wrote it. So this is a full-on Michael Crichton project. And it's basically just like it's a heist movie. It's set in like 1850 in England, and there is England's at war with the Crimea. So they have to keep sending there's these constant gold shipments to like the like front lines of the war, so they have to pay the soldiers. And so Sean Connery is like this like master criminal who is like, well, I'm gonna steal this gold. But there's this whole like, the gold's like, are there's like four different keys you have to get, and like you have to figure out how you're gonna get on the train, like get the gold, and like, because no one's ever robbed the train before, or like a moving train before, so you have to they have to figure out a plan for that, and you have to figure out like how you're gonna like get these keys, because like two of the keys are like locked in like this like guard station at the train station where it's like impossible to get into it, and like two of their keys are like on these guys' person, that they're constantly carrying the keys. So you have to figure out how you're gonna like get the keys off them and like make it, because they need to get the keys off and, like, make impressions of them in the wax, so they can like make their own version of the keys. So they have to figure out like how they're gonna like get these keys off and like make these impressions and like get the key back to like this person without them noticing that the key was taken. So a lot of like fun like kind of like heist movie like planning stuff and like setup stuff, and it's also just fun because it's like Victorian England, so it's like much different than like an Ocean's movie where it's like it's like different technology and different ways of doing things. So I would definitely worth checking out if you're looking for like a fun heist movie. I think it's definitely like a underrated or like underseen Sean Connery movie. I feel like people don't talk about The Great Train Robbery at all. But yeah, it's definitely fun. And Donald Sutherland is a great in it too. So
I mean, I've heard about it. I've never seen it, and it's just not on TV.
Yeah, it's not on TV. I think it's not really streaming anywhere. You can like rent it digitally, I think, but it's not like you can't just like go on like Amazon and watch it. You have to like rent it on Amazon and watch it. So, but I think this is the one. I think he directed this right. So Michael Crichton did Westworld, and then Coma, and then Great Train Robbery, and like that was like his 70s run of movies. I would say this is like up there with Westworld. It kind of has like a similar kind of vibe where it's like it's sort of like, I mean, Westworld was like sort of period, but it was like fake period because it was like Wild West, but not really. But this is actually like
a true Western.
Well, Victorian England, so.
Right.
But with like a big like train robbery set piece at the end. So definitely we're checking out if you're looking for like a fun heist movie. Definitely a better heist movie than like Army of the Dead or something. So, or any sort of like recent some of the recent like heist movies that come out. But yeah, so that's it for me this week, so we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got a bunch of stuff up there. We got our usual features. If you stay tuned to the site, we're going to have our July commentary ups coming up soon. I think we're still trying to figure out what that's going to be. But it might possibly be ninja related, because Snake Eyes is coming out, so we might try to figure out some sort of ninja movie to watch. Or just something else entirely. And then we're also going to have our Gamebox 2.0 article for July coming up soon, so you can check out what games we've been playing on the site pretty soon. And all the other stuff, regular stuff, is up there as well. Head over, check all that stuff out on the site. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.